Your 2021 success begins today. Episode 161. Are you ready to make your law firm a profit-generating machine that will free up your time and skyrocket your impact? With more than two decades of business growth experience and having proven that you can be successful while prioritizing your family and your impact, introducing the Profit with Law podcast. I am your host, the creator of the Firm Differentiator 10X Effect, Moshe Amsel. Well, hello and welcome to the Profit with Law podcast. I am your host, Moshe Amsel, and today I am going to be helping you get a jump start on 2021. 2020 was a year for the history books. It was a year of challenge, a year of trial and tribulation, and really it tested our patience, it tested our grit, it tested our ability to survive, to thrive, to manage through the most challenging of situations. And for some of us, it might have included some loss and some grief, and I don't want to minimize any of that. But 2021 is on the horizon. We're entering into the holiday season. We're in the end of December. And as you're listening to this, you're probably shutting down, slowing down for the Christmas, New Year's break. For me, we were celebrating Hanukkah. We just ended that. And looking forward to New Year's. But this time of year is a time of reflection. And what happens is you know the old mantra, right? Everyone wants to, you know, they set their intentions for the new year. And after New Year's Day, you know, they start out with a new gym membership and or a new diet. And all of a sudden, you know, the gym is crowded. But by the second week of January, there's more room in the gym. By the first week in February, the gym is pretty much back to the way it was before New Year's. Now, this is a bad analogy now because a lot of gyms are closed. A lot of people are not going to gyms because of COVID. But the idea that when the year turns and it's this time for new beginnings and everybody has these great intentions of being different in the coming year, those don't work. You know, trying to change yourself overnight to be somebody different than you've been for the last year or for the last 20, 30, 40 years of your life, that doesn't change by just deciding one day, tomorrow, I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to completely break all my habits and I'm going to start all new ones. And we know that that doesn't work. And yet we try and do it over and over again. Well, today I want to walk through a process of planning that's not about resolution. It's not about resolving to be different. It's about setting intentions. It's about being intentional. It's about creating a plan. It's about creating a map for your future over the next 12 months. It's not about, oh, hey, what am I going to do for the next 20 years? It's how do I make sure that in the next 12 months, I move the needle in my business and in my life, in my financial life? I'm not going to be talking about your personal habits. I'm not going to be talking about all those goals, but you could use the process I use in this episode for other areas of your life. However, my goal is to make you profitable, to make you successful, to help you grow your practice, and maybe even grow your financial wealth outside of your law firm. And we can do that. And it starts today. If you make the decision to do the work that I lay out in this podcast, and I'm calling it work because it actually requires you to sit down and do the exercise. It actually requires you to do something. And if you sit down and you go through the steps and you do it, this is where the future is created. It's not throughout the year. Yes, you have to take action throughout the year. Yes, you have to do stuff. But it's mapping out your route that's going to get you to your destination. You'll hear more about that analogy, the GPS analogy. I like to use that a lot. But it's really like when you set out on your journey, if you don't know where you're going or how you're going to get there, your chances of getting there are slim to none. And that's the idea. The idea is that you're going to enter the new year with a concrete plan of what are the actions that I need to take to make this a success. And that is what I'm excited to share with you today. Now, I am cheating a bit. So I actually took this from a session I did with the incubator. The incubator is the Law Firm Growth Incubator is a monthly membership where we help law firm owners generally earning revenues of $500,000 or less annually, although that's not a requirement in order to be a part of it. But it's generally the smaller law firms who are looking to get ahead and can't necessarily afford to hire a marketer, can't afford to hire a business coach, can't, you know, like that you're basically looking for help and you're willing to get it in a group environment. We have the Law Firm Growth Incubator where we host a call every single, the first four Wednesdays of every month. And my friends, Mark Homer and Melanie Leonard, are hosts of it with me. And Mark is the marketing guru. Melanie is the technology and process guru. And I'm the financial and business guru. And I don't want to even call myself a guru, but that's my focus. And we each do a call a week. And then we have a fourth call, which is could be a Q&A, could be we bring in a guest, could be we have another discussion. Regardless, that is the Law Firm Growth Incubator. And if you want to learn more about it or if you want to join the Law Firm Growth Incubator, just go to profitwithlaw.com/incubator. It's not a fancy Delancey sales page. It is a monthly membership, and you can join by going there, clicking there, and joining the incubator. Now, if you haven't heard about the Law Firm Growth Summit, I want to take a moment and just tell you about it. I know we're 5 minutes into this episode. We didn't even start on the content. I get it, but I need 90 seconds of your time to talk to you about this event. One of the things that I am finding challenging is how to depict in your minds, how to paint this picture of what this event is going to be like. Imagine you on the screen behind me on the stage that I'm speaking. Imagine the excitement of hundreds or thousands of law firm owners that are there with you. Now, I know it's virtual, but it's not like you're sitting behind the screen and it's a webinar that you're listening to and you're just looking at a talking head. This is an interactive experience where you will be part of the crowd. You will network with peers. You will have the opportunity to potentially meet speakers. You will be able to meet vendors face to face. It's going to be a conference as if you're there in person, except that we can't be there in person, so it's going to be virtual. But we are working our butts off to have all of the pieces of the puzzle in place, the production, the software, to make this an event that is an event that you can meet people, that you can socialize, that you can get content. And the theme of the event is setting yourself for the firm of the future. It is a very appropriate and very timely topic. And we're going to spend 3 days taking you on this journey with, I don't know the exact number, but it's going to be probably over 40 speakers that we're going to have at this event. You do not want to miss this event. And the price goes up every single week. So go right now to lawfirmgrowthsummit.com and get your ticket today. That being said, I'm about to lead into this recording from the incubator. Basically, this is a process that I am taking you through that is going to change your life if you follow it. It is going to allow you to take action in your business that is going to have you be so much further at the end of this year than you've been able to accomplish in the past by following it. Trust me, listen to the process, but this is not one of those episodes that you listen to it when you're on the treadmill, that you listen to it when you're taking a shower or when you're driving the car. I mean, you can listen to it, but you got to go back and listen to it with a piece of paper and a pen in front of you, or even better, a computer, an Excel spreadsheet. You got to do some work to make this work. And I'm going to ask you to just for this one episode to give me your focus and we'll go through this. Here we go.
Jump right into this conversation of planning your way to success. So this all starts with the premise that I firmly believe that if you don't aim for something, your likelihood of hitting it is slim to none. And that's why I think planning is really important. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions, right? And they decide, okay, I'm going to lose 15 pounds this year. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to go to the gym every day. And then you get a gym membership, you go. I mean, it's almost a joke because we all know that people who go to the gym in January at the beginning, 2 weeks into January, or maybe the, you know, a month into the year, by February 1st, by for sure by President's Day, they're not going anymore, right? 90%+ of the people who make that New Year's resolution don't stick to it. So what's the difference between planning and resolutions? The difference between planning and resolutions is that planning is you looking at a goal that you want to achieve and then mapping out how you're going to get there and then having this plan that you can keep going back to and referring to and making sure that you're sticking to your goal, you're sticking to your target, you're sticking to your trajectory of where you're going. It's different than a resolution. You know, resolution is just, hey, I'm going to do better. And you can resolve to be a better business owner. You can resolve to be a better attorney. You can resolve to be a better boss. You can resolve to do those things. But if you don't have a concrete plan of how you're going to make that happen, it's almost impossible to carry that out and to see it through. And that's why resolutions get abandoned. If you had decided, hey, I'm going to lose 15 pounds this year, and therefore I know because it's going to take me 12 months to do that, I only need to lose a pound a month. So rather than taking this drastic action of going on a diet and committing to the gym every day and trying to make all these changes in my life to have that result, I'm going to make one small change and I'm going to monitor myself for a month and see if that moved the needle. So maybe I'm going to cut out a piece of dessert that I'm having every night, or maybe I'm going to start going on a 10-minute walk every day instead of trying to like totally change everything that I'm doing to be able to achieve this result. So with that understanding, we're going to walk into this planning conversation. This is planning your way to success. And there are three keys to success. And they are goal setting. Number one, you have to set a goal. And we're going to talk about why, right? We're going to talk about why that's important. You need to begin with the end in mind, and you need to break down your plan into quarterly projects. And now let me dive into why these are important. And in order to understand why they're important, we first need to understand why most people don't succeed. What keeps people from succeeding? And I call it the three I's: indecision, inaction, and inconsistency, right? So what does this mean? Well, as firm owners, and you're going to resonate with this a ton, as firm owners, when we are faced with a decision, we have a tendency to sit on that decision and not make a choice, right? So for example, you know that you need to do something to free up some of your time, and you have to decide whether you're going to hire a staff member. Now, what happens is if you think about if you've ever been in that position, how long did you waffle on that decision? How long did you think about it before you came to a decision? And are you perhaps still thinking about it? And it's 12, 18 months later, and you still haven't made a decision. Not deciding something is going, what it's going to do is it's going to tie up our brain power. It's going to make us think about that all the time when we could have just decided and moved on. It's going to have us constantly questioning our ability to take the next step. There's a ton of things attached to the fact that we don't make a decision. And if you can get in the habit, now I don't mean making rash decisions. I don't mean making decisions so quickly you haven't thought them out. But if you can come into this point where you are faced with a decision that you need to make, you figure out what are the pros, what are the cons, and you make a decision. The reason we sit in indecision, and this is really important, why do we sit in indecision? The reason we sit in indecision is because we are afraid of something. Now, we could be afraid of the outcome. We could be afraid of failure. We could be afraid of how we're going to look to other people, which means that we might, and that's deep down, that's an ego thing, right? We're and therefore, it's a survival mechanism. And some of these fears are not things that we even are conscious or aware about. But if you start to really question, how come I haven't made a decision about this and it's on my plate? If you really think about it, most likely you're afraid of something. Now, the biggest thing that's going to keep you from making the decision is the fear of the outcome. But what's crazy is that the fear of failure or the fear of not doing it or the fear of looking bad, what's crazy is that thing is going to become the reality by the fact that you didn't make a decision. Fear of failure, you're guaranteed failure if you don't make the decision, right? You're guaranteed to not succeed if you don't take that action. And that's, you know, action is the next thing. But if you don't make the decision to move forward, and that's really, really interesting when you start to think about it, because the exact thing that we're trying to do to delay the decision so that we don't have the potential for that failure is exactly what's causing that failure. So think about that. Decisions are really important. And if you can exercise this muscle, this is one of the key components of success, making decisions. Second thing, inaction. Once you make a decision, the next thing is to take the action, to take the step. And this is the next thing that people get stuck on. They're like, okay, I decided I need to hire my next person. I don't know how to do that. I don't know where to find them. I don't know how much to pay them. I don't, all these questions of how turns into, so if we don't take action, once again, we're guaranteeing failure. We're guaranteeing lack of success. And sometimes the questions that you ask of how am I going to do this get answered by the fact that you take an action. Now, hiring an employee is an extreme example, because there, if you take the wrong action, you're actually going to hire somebody who's going to be the wrong hire, right? And you're going to have to fire them, or you're going to have to suffer with them, or they're going to end up leaving. There's definitely consequences attached to taking action. But I will tell you this. Interview 10 business owners who have employees for more than 10 years and ask them, what is the number one thing that you can tell me about hiring employees? Or ask them, you know, do you think that you got better at hiring employees and choosing the right employees as time moved on? What's interesting is that we had a conversation with Mark Homer recently. I think it was our last Q&A, where he shared that most of the employees he hired at the very beginning of his business are not working there anymore. And that's very telling. In other words, what happens is that we learn, you know, well, the books can only tell you so much. The best example I have is if you read a book on how to swim and you study it from the beginning to the end, and we can quiz you and test you on every single technique and everything that's in the book, and you know it cold. Until you get in the pool and try to swim, you're not a swimmer, right? So you might know all the theory of how to manage somebody and how to find the right employee and how to create the right compensation package. But until you actually go and vet people and make a decision and choose somebody and bring them on, you don't know how to do it. And you're going to make mistakes. Now, hopefully you don't make mistakes on the first one or the second one. Hopefully you get home runs. But the reality is that mistakes are going to happen, lessons are going to be learned, and you need to take action to learn those lessons. Because if you didn't take action, you're robbing yourself of the opportunity to take that lesson. I know I'm spending a lot of time on this. We didn't even get to planning yet, but there's a reason why. It's because these are the things that are going to stop you. These are the things that are going to get in your way, keep you from achieving your goal. So what's the point of goal setting if you don't have this basic foundation? If you don't understand, I need to make decisions and I need to take actions. And then the last piece is I need to be consistent with it. If I start and stop, no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to fail. Or I'm going to hamper my success so much that it's going to take me forever to succeed. And perfect example is marketing, right? If any marketing effort that you're doing, if you do it inconsistently, you're going to get inconsistent results at best, which means, and this is very typical of a solo at the beginning, but it can also be when you're growing larger and larger. What typically happens with a solo is you don't have clients. So you spend all of your time and energy and effort getting clients. Now, once you get a couple of clients through the door, now you have to serve those clients. You start working on serving those clients and you kind of forget about the work you were doing to get those clients. And that sits at the wayside. Now you finish up with those clients, you finish work, And now you're like, oh, I don't have any clients. Let me go get clients. And so you're starting and stopping your marketing efforts. And what's happening is that you end up with these big gaps of when you don't have work that, okay, I'm seeking work. Now I'm working. I'm seeking work. Now I'm working. I'm seeking work. Now I'm working. So I'm getting paid. I'm not getting paid. I'm getting paid. I'm not getting paid. And that kind of roller coaster is going to hamper your success in a big way. So consistency is really important. And that's the third I. So indecision, inaction, inconsistency, spoken other ways. To be successful, you need to make decisions, you need to take actions, and you need to be consistent about it. Now let's talk about goal setting. So with goal setting, you need to understand the big picture. What do you want? And I'm just going to go through what's on the slide. What does that look like in the next 12 months? And then translate that into what your firm needs to produce top line revenues. Now let's go into each one of these. The reason why you need to know the big picture of what you want is because you don't want to spend a lot of time and energy and effort building a law firm that has 20 people working in it when all you want is to be a solo. It doesn't make sense to be trying to achieve a law firm that's generating $1 million of profit slash revenue, not revenue, but income to you, take home pay to you every year when all you need is 250,000 or all you want is 250,000 take home a year, right? They're different monsters. They're different animals, and you need to know which animal you're breeding. You know, what are you raising? What is your child, your baby going to look like? You know, what do you want for them when they grow up? That's, you know, it's weird. I'm like trying to put in these different analogies, but the reality is you have to know what your own personal end result is so that you can then translate that into what do I want my firm to look like? So you have to ask yourself questions like, what do I want to make or earn? What do I want my impact to be? Is my law firm a vehicle for me to have the effect on this world that I want to have, that my legacy, the thing I want to be known for? Or is it simply something that's going to generate money that's going to allow me to live my life? And maybe with money, I'm having my impact, right? Those are important questions to ask because they'll take you in different directions. If your law firm is going to be your impact, then maybe you're serving an underserved community. Maybe you're structuring the business in a way where you're not as profitable, but you're increasing access to justice. Or maybe you're focusing on becoming the most efficient law firm to do a certain thing so that you could serve a greater, larger quantity of people. Or maybe that has nothing to do with it. Maybe all you want to do is a bunch of estate plans so that at the end of the day, you have an extra $500,000 every year to turn around and pay for clean water in Africa. I don't know. I don't know what your motivation is. I don't know what drives you, but you need to know that. You need to think about that. One of the best things that I've come across is a book called Living Forward by Daniel Harkavy and Michael Hyatt. And I think we have a link to it, profitwithlaw.com/livingforward or Living Forward book. So you can link straight to it. It'll take you to Amazon and you can purchase that book or you can buy it on Audible. But one of the most impactful exercises in that book that I've found is, and it's a great read anyway, to really try to think about and understand where you are in life. But one of the best exercises that they have in there is to write your own eulogy. And essentially the idea is if I were dead and they were saying my eulogy, what do I want it to sound like? What do I want them to be talking about? How do I want them to be describing me and my life? What is my legacy? And if you get really clear on that, that's going to drive everything that you do moving forward. So it's really important to understand that and get clear on it and to take that step. So the big picture is what do you want? And it's philosophy. It's what do you want out of life? What do you want? Like, what's your end result? What's your end game? But it's also financial, right? So what are your financial goals? Do you want to live in a bigger house? Do you want to drive a fancy car? Do you not care about those things? Do you want to instead put your kids through college? Do you want to have, one of the things that I would love to do is I would love to, I'd like to pay for my kids' weddings, right? But more importantly, I'd love to continue my grandfather's legacy. I'd like to give each of my children a down payment for their first home purchase. More than that, I also want to get them involved in real estate investing. So I would love to help them get their first rental property. Those are my things, right? That's my goal, right? Those are my goals. But it's things like that where, what's my legacy? What does that look like from a financial perspective, and how does that play out? And then I have to look at it and say, okay, how old are each of my kids, and how much money do I need by a certain time to make this work, to do this for them, right? You got to get clear on the big picture first. But once you get clear on the big picture, then you say, okay, what does that look like in the next 12 months? What are my financial needs in the next 12 months? And this is a personal financial goals template that I've created, which allows you to put in everything that you want. Now, there are things that have monthly recurring activities, like commitments that they have, which is blocked out here. Just put the description of what you want, and whether it's a need, a strong desire, or a dream. And this helps you figure out what the priority is. I'm just going to go to a sample here. Can everyone see my screen? Just put in the chat if you can see my screen and if you can see what I'm sharing with you right now. And I need to reopen the chat. So this is a sample of how to enter this data. So here I wrote household expenses. I need $5,000 a month. And this is a need, right? I want a new car. So my new car monthly payment is going to be $300. That's a strong desire. So I need the $300 a month. Here are the things that are going to happen monthly. And here are the things that I might need a big chunk of money to produce, right? So my new car down payment, I need $5,000 and I want to get it within a year, right? This is when I want it. And again, it's strong desire versus need versus dream, okay? And here I've got retirement, and don't worry about the numbers here. I'm gonna go through that in just a moment. And here I've got retirement. I want to have $2.3 million at the basic level 30 years from now, right? So, and this is not me, by the way, this is a sample. I hope I'm retired in under 30 years, at least in the term retired. I don't think I'm gonna ever stop being busy, but I mean, heck, I wanna spend time with my grandchildren if I have any. Don't have any yet, but retirement intermediate, retirement advanced. Here I've got $4.5 million over 30 years. Kid one college, I need to pay $150,000, and that's going to be 10 years from now. Kid two college, I need $150,000 10 years from now. Maybe I want to buy a new home. The down payment on that home is going to be $200,000, and that's 5 years out. So what is the significance of the dollar amount and the time frame? Well, down here, you can see that there's a savings calculator, a retirement calculator, a mortgage calculator. You can use these calculators to calculate how much you need to put away every month based on this time frame and based on some assumption of percentage. So if it's less than 5 years away, you're probably just going to primarily do that with savings, and you're not going to really have any interest on that. The interest rate environment today is slim to none. And I don't suggest for a short-term goal that you invest in the market or anything like that, because it could go down and you can end up doing the reverse of what you're trying to do rather than saving towards that goal. You're losing towards that goal, right? Now, depending on how flexible you are with this time frame, so like let's say the new home, I say, okay, I'd like it to be 5 years from now, but if it needs to be 10, it can be 10. Then maybe I do put some of that money to work in the market or some other way that's going to make it grow on its own, even besides for the money I'm putting in. But general rule of thumb, less than 5 years, you're going to be primarily saving it. More than 5 years, you're gonna hopefully do something to produce a greater rate of interest, which is going to compound the savings that you're doing going. So it might, instead of taking 10 years to reach a certain goal, it might take you only 7 if, you know, based on compounding returns. Also remember that as you progress on your journey, you're going to have more money to throw at something. So you might not need to put, I mean, let's look at my retirement example, right? It comes out to $7,083 a month. I think it's a month that needs to be put away in order for me to get to 4.5 million in 30 years, right? So realistically today, I probably don't have $7,000 a month to put into there, but maybe 12, 18 months from now, I do. Or maybe now I have 2,000 and I step into that and I go to 5,000 the next year and I go to 7,000 the year after that. And maybe I have to tweak these numbers every year to based on what I already accomplished and what's left, what's remaining in the goal. So these are not absolute numbers, but what this does is it makes you create this absolute clarity about the different things that you want to achieve that you're not currently achieving. And using these calculators, you then break it down into these monthly numbers. And now you've got an idea. My basic need, you know, on this example is $6,357 a month, which turns into $76,000 annually. And the next step I'm going to show you, by the way, I'm going to make a third tab in the sheet before I share it so that you can have that next sheet calculated for you. But this is getting clear on what are my goals. And now I know this is my basic necessity. This is my strong desire. And this is my dream. Now these add on each other, right? So this is $7,800 a month that has to be added. So in other words, I need to be bringing home $169,000. I'm looking down here, $169,884 a year to be able to accomplish both of these in this example. If I want to accomplish even my dream, then I need to be bringing home $207,948. Now, notice that we want to know what the big picture is. We want to know what that looks like in the next 12 months. Okay. So we kind of broke it down in that spreadsheet onto, you know, what's our annual goal of take-home pay, right? We want to start at the personal level. What's our annual goal of take-home pay that's going to then provide what we need based on what we've mapped out. And notice on that spreadsheet, I put the monthly necessity as one item. You kind of need to know what your household expenses are. You kind of need to know, like, what do I need to bring home basic needs to be able to pay my current rent or mortgage, to be able to put food on the table, to be able to pay for insurance, whatever the things are that you have to be paying for. I suggest in this exercise, breaking that down into one number. Now, you don't have to get fancy. If everything you pay for is paid for on a credit card, take your total credit card payments for the year, average them out over 12 months, and you know how much you need every month. If you've got your mortgage payment, you got the big nuts, your mortgage payment, your car payment, and then everything else happens on the credit card, right? So you add those to it, and now you've got your monthly number. So don't overcomplicate this. Don't say, okay, I can't do this exercise because I'm not using Quicken or Mint or whatever to track all my expenses. Throw a number at it that makes sense to you, that is within the realm of reason of what you're actually spending, and use that, because again, indecision and inaction is going to stop you. And this is one of those examples. You know, you can watch this and you can say, okay, I'm going to do this goal setting thing. And then you're going to start on the first line. You're going to have to decide what's my monthly expenses. And you're going to say, oh, I'm stuck. I can't move forward. Right? That's your inaction. You're never going to take the steps to map, to do the work, to map this out, if you get stuck at the, on these fine points. Right? And if you think about it, what if you were wrong by $1,000 a month? What is the worst that's going to happen? Is you miss it, right? And you got to figure it out. But what's even worse than that? You didn't even aim for something and you missed it even worse because you didn't aim for something. You didn't know, like, if you go into it and you're like, oh, I'm just going to make sure I'm busy, I'm serving clients every day, and you stick your head in the sand, you don't listen to the financial part of the conversation, guess what? You're probably not succeeding. You're probably not succeeding. You might be succeeding in being busy. You might be getting good reviews. You might have your phone ringing with people who want to work with you, but if you're not paying attention to the numbers, you might not be bringing home what you need. And how many of us are busy and don't see it in our bank accounts? It's because you're not paying attention to these things. You're not being purposeful with your money. So what do you want? Big picture. What does that look like over 12 months? Then we translate that into what the firm needs to produce top line revenue. So this is a chart that I created that is based off of Profit First. So Profit First gives general percentage guidelines of where a healthy business is, one that the business owner is not only paying themselves well, but they're also taking a healthy profit from the business. And those percentages are good enough for this analysis that we don't have to make ourselves nuts, okay? And basically what it says in the book is that if up until $250,000 in revenue, you're gonna take home 50% as owner's pay and 5% as profit. So your division factor is 0.55. That's how much of the money you wanna bring home. What that means is that if you know how much you wanna bring home, and you know what percentage of the business that was supposed to be, we can then figure out how much you need to bring in as far as revenue goes, as far as clients go, right? So up until $137,500 of take-home pay, our division factor is 0.55. And up until a take-home pay of $225,000, our division factor is 0.45. So now I'm gonna go back to our other example. So these are our take-home numbers at the three levels. Now, why do I work on three levels? Who can guess why I work on three levels? I'll tell you why I work on three levels. Because when you're goal setting, I believe that you need a good, better, best goal. I believe you need to have different varieties of goals that you're aiming for. And these are annual numbers, by the way. One of the things that's going to keep us from succeeding is the feeling of defeat. And the feeling of defeat comes about when you think that something is unattainable. So if all we focused on was this take home of 207,000 and you're currently taking home 20,000 or you're not taking home anything, that seems unachievable to the point that you're probably not even going to get started, right? But if the basic necessity that you have is to just bring home $76,000 from your business, and keep in mind, these are examples. If you're a multi-million dollar operation and you're on this call, you're watching this recording, whatever you're doing, it doesn't mean you can't do this exercise. I'm using small numbers because the incubator is designed primarily for law firms that are bringing in $500,000 in revenue or less. That's who we market to. It doesn't mean that anybody else is not accepted here, right? But that's why my examples are these numbers. But if your dreams and aspirations are bigger, if you want your take home to be a million, and then we have to back into your revenue from there, you can use the same exercise, use the same process. But again, you want a big, better, best. You want something that's closer to your reality versus something that's further away from your reality. And you want to aim for the big one, but you also want to know that if I get close to the small one, or if I hit the small one, I at least am happy with my progress and my success, right? So you want to have these different levels. For example, we have the Law Firm Growth Summit, right? We want to get 7,500 attendees to it, but our base level is 2,500. So we want to range somewhere from 2,500 to 7,500. We're aiming for 7,500. All our conversations with our Facebook ads guy, with our internal team conversations, they're all based on achieving 7,500 ticket sales to the event. But we have a base goal of 2,500. And when we cross that, we can breathe a sigh of relief and we can say, phew, we met our base goal. Our base goal wasn't a pie in the sky number. It was the number we needed to meet in order to make enough money from this event that we could pay our staff, pay our costs, and know that this was a successful event. Our vendors are going to feel like they got access to enough people. Our attendees are going to have enough people to interact with and enough momentum that they're going to achieve from it. So that's where we got our numbers from. But again, big, better, best. Okay. So here, this is going to be your revenue goal. It's all going to make sense in just a moment. So we had our division factor, which said that anything up until 2,000 or 135,000. What was the number? Let me pull it up real quick. 137,500, right? So this is under 137,500. Our division factor is 0.55. So we take this number divided by 0.55, and this is our revenue goal. 138,698 is going to produce 76,284 of take-home pay, not including taxes. Taxes are separate in the profit first exercise. Taxes are calculated separately. So if you want to bring home a true 76,284 after taxes, this is your revenue goal. Now, the math is not going to be perfect. We're not going to be on, you know, hitting the number on the dollar and the cent sign, right? As a matter of fact, I shouldn't have any cents in here. And I'm going to get rid of them right now. But round this up, round it, you know, just it's, this is not an exact science. It's an exercise to get you heading in the right direction. The next step is 225 and it's 0.45. So if we look at, If we look at 225, these are both below 225. So now we're going to take this number and we're going to divide it by 0.45. And we're going to take this number and we're going to divide it by 0.45. And now we've got our good, better, best revenue goals for the firm, right? At this level, I need to bring in $139,000 revenue over the course of the year to hit this number. I need to bring in $377,000 of revenue to bring in this number. Now, what I do is I break this into a monthly. Now, honestly, dividing this by 12 is not going to be good for you. Okay. You got to figure out like, what is my growth trajectory? If I want to get to this number, but for the sake of this exercise being simple, I like to just divide by 12 so that you have a picture of what does it look like? If I were to be doing consistent revenue every month, what would I have to be at to hit this goal, to hit this number? So this is $11,000 a month. Now, when you start to think about it, that does not seem like a lot of money. It might seem like a lot of money if you're not bringing it in right now, right? If you're scraping by with $4,000 or $5,000 of revenue a month right now, or you got zero, this sounds like a huge mountain to climb. And we're going to deal with that in just a moment, but it's really not a lot of money. And I'm going to demonstrate how this and this is also not a lot of money. And notice there's not a huge gap here between these two, right? So sometimes your middle goal is smack in the middle and sometimes it leans closer to the bottom or closer to the top. In this case, our middle goal is leaning closer to the top, right? But I guarantee you, if you fell somewhere between this 11 and this 31, you'd be pretty good. You'd be pretty happy. Right? Because you're already starting to achieve some of your desired goals. Maybe you're not achieving them all, but you're able to achieve some of them. So the next step in the process is to take that monthly revenue goal and translate it into the actual thing that you produce, right? You're lawyers, you produce a service. For the sake of this argument, for the sake of this conversation, it's going to be simple if we choose one thing that you do. Obviously, you all do multiple things, charge different rates for different things, and you're going to have to come up with a formula to figure this out. But let's say that you're an estate planning attorney and you're primarily dealing with irrevocable trusts, and you charge $5,500 for an irrevocable trust. Okay, fine. Maybe you're not in the New York area. You charge $4,000 for an irrevocable trust, right? So you say, I get $4,000 per client, right? Now, if I take this number, okay, divided by 4,000, it's going to give me a quantity of clients that I need. All of a sudden, when we translate it into how many clients do I need to bring in every month, new clients every month, it suddenly feels very tangible. If this 11,000 seemed overwhelming, three clients doesn't. If 31,000 seemed overwhelming, eight clients probably doesn't. If you're at zero, it probably does. But if it's at zero, although I'm telling you to aim for this, aim for 10 clients, that's our trajectory, that's our goal. The reality is that when you get to three clients, you're a third of the way, or practically a third of the way towards your 10 goal. and you've achieved your basic level, right? So you break this down into how many clients you need. So we broke it down by month. We broke it down to a quantity of clients or some other meaningful number. And now we have one more breakdown to do, and that's to break it down to a number of leads. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get to the earliest indicator of your success. The thing that you can focus on driving the needle to your success. Now, it might not be quantity of leads, right? What if your phone is ringing off the hook? You've got more leads than you know what to do with, but yet you're not able to achieve your results, right? Maybe you don't need more leads. Maybe you need to figure out how to convert more of those leads into clients, how to change them into sales. Or maybe you need to figure out how to get the right leads through the door instead of any leads through the door, right? So I want to be careful with this point of the exercise. However, for the purpose of goal setting, this could be a really good place to focus on. Now, maybe you stop at number of clients, or maybe you go back. So let's say that you know for every two leads that come in, I close a client. A lot of attorneys tell me, Every two people I meet with, I get a client. 50% close rate is really good. Okay. I would even venture to say 25% close rate, right? In our example of three clients, if you're closing one out of every four, you need 12 leads. If you're closing one out of every two, you need 6 leads. So if depending on your close rate, 25%, 50%, somewhere in between, you know that you need somewhere between 6 and 12 leads to come in through your door in order for you to achieve your basic level of success. Now, maybe you don't need any new leads. Maybe you need somebody to handle the leads you've got. Maybe you need to bring on a staff member. It's very possible, right? So don't get hung up on this exercise is only going to show you what you need to do on the front end from a marketing perspective, because that's not the point. The point is to identify where you need to be 12 months from now to have gotten to the point where this is what you're tracking. This is the results that you're tracking. And in order to get there, that's the next part of this conversation. So this is your key metric. This is the early indicator of success. Now you begin with the end in mind. What does that mean? What got you here won't get you there. You cannot look. We have a tendency to look at the past in order to determine what we should do in the future. We look at the past and we say, this was working for me before. I'm going to continue doing the same thing and it's going to get me to the next level. But the reality is that what worked for you to get your first three clients through the door might not be what's going to work for you to get consistent 10 clients through the door. What worked for you to serve three clients might not work when you have 10 clients. So you have to enter into this conversation knowing that this might be different. And I might have to think differently. I might have to act differently. So how do you do this? Well, this is very easy, extremely easy. You don't need a coach. You don't need any guidance. You don't need a YouTube video. You need a paper and a pen and you need to sit down and close your eyes. And this is what you're going to ask yourself. You're going to ask yourself, if my goal is 10 clients a month, what is my law firm going to look like in a year when I'm at 10 clients a month, I'm bringing 10 clients a month through the door. What does my law firm look like? Who's serving those clients? What software did I need to be using in order to put 10 clients through consistently? What marketing efforts am I doing to bring in those 10 clients? Ask those questions and start writing that down. I think I have the questions here. Yes. What does the firm look like in 12 months? If I had X number of clients, where were they coming from? If I had X number of clients, who is serving them? If I had X number of clients, what process or technology solutions did I have to implement to have those clients and have them served in the manner that I want to serve them with the level of customer service that I intend to provide? And if you ask yourself these questions and you write down the answers, guess what? You're now going to have the destination clearly that you need to be at 12 months from now. Meaning, you know whether you need to hire people. You know whether you need to implement some new software. You know whether you need to do some processes that you don't have yet. You know whether you need to change your marketing efforts or amplify your marketing efforts, because you already know intuitively what it would look like if you had this level of success. And that's why you begin with the end in mind, because you get clear, where is my destination? What does it look like? And that's why this next slide, we talk about the GPS, right? I use the GPS as an example, because if you turn on Waze on your phone and you have location services turned off and it doesn't know where you are, it can't navigate to the destination. If you open Waze and you say, take me to where I'm going, but you don't put in a destination, it can't navigate. It can't map out your route, because in order to create a route, in order to get from point A to point B, you need to know where's point A and you need to know where's point B. So right now, you know where you're at. You have to know where you're going in order to be able to create the plan that's going to get you there. And until you understand that, and until you actually do it, your chances of getting to your destination are just as good as your chances of getting in the car and driving and saying, I want to go to Honolulu, and just driving and hoping that you're magically going to get to where you want to go. It's not going to happen. You're going to drive in circles. You're going to make wrong turns. You might get there 20 years from now, but is that what you want? You want to get there 20 years from now or 12 months from now? You tell me. If 20 years is good, then you don't have to do any of this. Okay. Now you have clarity on what needs to change. You have both the starting point and the ending point in your journey. Let's calculate your route. Calculating your route is basically mapping out what needs to change from where I am today to where I'm going. And I made the questions that I made on purpose, because the main things that we focus on is going to be one of four things. It's going to be our sales and marketing. It's going to be our staffing. It's going to be our technology and processes. And it's going to be our financials. Those are the four areas, the four main areas of our business. And any project you're going to undertake that's going to help get you to the destination is going to be in one of those four areas. And that's why it's really important to ask those questions and get clear on that. So you can now see, where do I need to focus? And the last thing you need to do when you're looking at where do I need to focus is you got to choose an order. Which of these is the most important thing to do first, second, third, fourth, right? So for example, if you need to completely overhaul your marketing, maybe that's the thing you need to do first, because you need to give that time to work to start bringing in the leads and the clients. And until you have enough clients, you don't necessarily need the staffing. So it wouldn't make sense to start with the staffing. Instead, start with the marketing, right? So it depends on your situation. If you have more than enough leads coming through the door, you just don't have the capacity to serve them all, you got to start with your staffing. You got to get somebody in place to start serving these people. And then you can focus on streamlining your sales, or maybe, you know, or improving your close rate from leads to sales. So everybody's situation is different, which is why I can't define these projects for you, but you should end up with projects. Now, I have quarterly projects on the screen. What does that mean? The most efficient way for you to manage a project is to do one project at a time, one main project at a time, and to do it in quarters. So 90 days. 90 days is a perfect amount of time. More than 90 days, you get fatigue, you lose steam, things fall apart. Less than 90 days, you didn't give yourself enough time, you're going to end up with projects that are not completed. And now you've got, you know, half-built roads going to your destination, and you're not going to get there. That's going to create that inconsistency we're trying to avoid. Now, focusing on a quarterly project doesn't mean I stop doing everything else in my business, okay? This is a project that you're going to handle by doing a little bit of work every single day towards that project that's going to produce the overall result that you want. It's not going to be something that I focus on for a full day every day for 90 days. It's not going to be something I focus on in the last week of the 90-day period and say, oh, it didn't work, or oh, I finished it because I did it in the last week. This needs to be consistent action over time that's going to create the result that you want. 90 days is the optimal time frame for completing a major project. You're going to break down the major initiatives needed and you're going to put them in order. And the hardest part is execution. And I think this is the end of my slide deck. It is. The hardest part of this is execution. Remember the fourth eye. Fourth eye? Yes, third eye. The third eye is inaction. No, it's inconsistency. The second action is second eye is inaction. Action and consistent action are the two things needed to implement this, to put it into fruition, to make it happen. And that's what is going to be the hardest part, because we can all spend 2 hours on a weekend and make a plan. We can spend an hour on a spreadsheet tweaking some numbers. We can do some thinking to figure out what does this look like, and we can write down what it looks like. And we can even say, okay, now I've got clarity on where I need to focus for the next 4 quarters. But what's going to happen is if you stop there, you're going to end up with this plan in a drawer or somewhere else that is never going to get looked at. And you're going to be like the person who showed up to the gym. And 4 weeks later, you're going to be back to your same old self, and you're going to have completely forgotten about it. What is the solution to execution? It's consistency. It's not just deciding to take action. It's not just doing the action. It's doing it consistently. And the way that you do this is you become very intentional with how you're going to achieve the result that you want, which happens over time, right? So I have 90 days to get this thing done. Let me take that and break it into chunks. What if I said, okay, what are the three main components of this project? Let me break it into 3 months. What if I now say, what? Now I'm in month one. This is my main component now. I've got 4 weeks. Break it into four pieces that are digestible, that I can accomplish over 4 weeks. Now go into your 1 week. Okay, week one, I need to accomplish this. What are the steps I need to take every day for the next 5 days to do this? And I guarantee you, if you break it down that way, there are going to be some days you don't do anything. There are going to be some days that you do a little bit more than others. It's not going to be every day I work for 30 minutes and then at the end of 90 days I have it. But if you take this approach and you get really clear on what is it that I need to do this week, and you make sure that you, by hook or by crook, are going to get this thing done that week, and you take that action and you make sure it happens, you can't lose. You might not hit your goal, but you can't fail. Failure is a definition of a result, right? The only guarantee of failure is not taking the action, is not doing it. But once you, so Lindsay, it is very similar to 12-week year concept. There's a lot of data behind that. And 12-week year is just, that's just one of the people who talks about this idea. There's another one, I'm forgetting his name right now, who talks about it also. There's also the 90-day year is another one. I use a journal. It's called the 90X Goal Planner, and it's got on the journal, it's got place it for you to break out your goals and the actions you're going to take towards the goals. You can go to 90xplanner.com and check it out. It's my friend Alone David who started that company, and it's a great tool, a great device to use. And any of my 90-day turnaround coaching students get it when they sign up. I send them one of these. I send them the smaller version, the action planner. But the bottom line is that if you break it down into bite-sized pieces and you do those pieces, you're gonna string it together to have that result at the end. And if you knock out each of these projects consistently throughout the year, at the end of the 12 months, when you turn around, you're gonna be able to say, I'm exactly where I wanted to be. Now, maybe you haven't hit the number on, you know, exactly where you wanted it. Maybe some of the things didn't work the way that you envisioned them. You know, you've made the plan based on your intuition of what's going to work, what's not going to work, and what, you know, maybe your marketing effort didn't pay off. Maybe the person you hired was the wrong hire, but you learn from that. And now you do the exercise again. And I recommend doing this exercise every quarter. So you always look a year in advance. But if you don't have this already in process, now's the best time to do it. Don't wait until January. You do your quarterly planning before the quarter starts. Do it now. Plan your year now so that when you come out of the holidays and you're after January 1st, you already have your plan mapped out for the first quarter. On January 2nd, you're already taking your first action towards that result that you want. And make sure to mark February 9th, 10th, and 11th on your calendar to not do anything on those days so you can attend the Law Firm Growth Summit. Yeah, that was my pitch. But this was a great 1 hour. At least it felt really good for me. I hope that this was good for you. And folks, this has been fun. I love coming here and talking to you. I'm sorry that this was more one-sided. We didn't have a conversation, but I think this is really, really important to get out. And I would love to get feedback on what your plans are for the next 12 months. So feel free to send me an email. You're getting emails from me. Just hit reply to any of them. That's even though those are mass emails, that's my real email address they're coming from. So you can just hit reply, send me a message back. And I'd love to hear from you what your plan for the next 12 months is, what your vision for the future is. And if you have any questions, just ask.
Well, folks, there you have it. Hopefully you followed that process. Hopefully you got it and you're running with it. If you like this process and you were able to identify your four main quarterly projects and you want some help with planning this out quarter by quarter, you definitely want to check out 90xplanner.com. 90x is, I think I gave the wrong URL. I think it's 90xgoalplanner.com. I'm putting it in the browser right now, but my friend Alone David came up with this planner. And essentially I use this for everything. Yes, it's 90xgoalplanner.com. 90xgoalplanner.com. I like the action planner. It's a smaller version. So the full version of the planner has 5 goals that you're working towards in a quarter. This is a 90-day planner. The action planner has 3, and it's more compact and it's easier for me to carry around with me and take with me places. So I like the action planner better. I did not intend to do a full-on promo for him today. That wasn't the intention, but that's what I use. All of my coaching students in the 90-day Law Firm Turnaround Group Coaching Program get a copy of this planner when they join, and I'm a big fan of it. I personally live by my calendar on my phone and on my computer for my day-to-day schedule, but I still find using this planner keeps me rooted and focused on the actual activities that are going to move the needle in my business towards the goals that I've set out. And therefore, it is integral that I use this tool. You don't have to use this tool, but you should find a tool that works for you that will keep you on the right path. Now, having said that, if you enjoyed this episode and this is the first time listening, make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you get notified every time that we release a new episode. And also, share this out with a friend. Go to an associate, somebody else who's in the legal industry, they're a law firm owner, they're a lawyer, and tell them to check out this episode. Share the wealth. Don't be stingy. Don't be selfish and keep it to yourself. Share it out with others. And with that, for my Jewish friends out there, happy Hanukkah. For my non-Jewish friends out there who celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. We're going to keep producing episodes for you throughout this holiday break. So we'll wish you Happy New Year's too, but we'll be in your ears before that. And that is it. Oh yeah, the last thing, lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. Go get your tickets today. I talked about it in the intro. I don't need to talk about it again. You got the idea. We're hosting an event from February 9th to 11th. We're having 40 plus speakers. It's going to be amazing. We're connecting you. There's going to be networking sessions. There's going to be entertainment. There's going to be fun. There's going to be prizes. It's going to be a grand prize giveaway. We already announced we're giving away a Peloton. We're working on some other grand prizes that we're going to be giving away. I can't spill the beans yet, but it's going to be big. And I am super, super excited about it. And I hope that you will join us there. Go to lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. And until the next time, enjoy your week. Take care.
Have you been enjoying the show? We sure hope so. To make sure you never miss an episode, be sure to hit the subscribe button in your podcast player app. Next week, we will be back with more valuable resources and ideas on how to break the mold and take your law firm to the next level.